The following program is an unrehearsed personal opinion program intended to allow the comments of the public on various issues and topics of discussion. The opinions expressed are not the views of this station or the sponsors. Now, here's comment.
17 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock. We thank you for joining us here on KVSH Radio, and it is the 30th of September, which means it's time for our Ask Dr. Rick program. We've got Dr. Rick in studio with us, and also Mike Bird. Sounds like we're going to talk a little bit about some sports injuries, concussions, and things of that nature.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're going to go over today. Ask Dr. Rick. Dr. Rick Malachek, the surgeon at the Cherry County Hospital. We do want to remind you, we're not trying to give people medical advice. We're just trying to give you some information to base some things on, and you always want to check with your physician, and we're not expressing views from Kyle and the crew at Cherry County Hospital. Dr. Rick has a new shirt that has asked me about the Dr. Rick Show on KVSH Radio.
That's a good-looking shirt, isn't it?
We're going merchandising on all this.
We might have
it's
to get
it. It's flying off the shelves.
Anyway, Dick, how's it going, Doc?
Doing good. Doing well. Enjoying the last few days of summer here.
So we talk about sports injuries. Right on the front of everybody's brain, so
mind,
to speak.
Mind, yeah.
Is concussions, yeah. And that's what we hear so much about. Yeah. I mean, it used to be knee injuries. That was the thing that could end a career would be a knee injury. Now, a concussion can end an injury or end a season for somebody.
Change your life. Yeah. No, it's. I don't know if anybody's been watching football, but I don't watch a lot of football. But I definitely took note at Tua Tagovailoa is the quarterback for the Dolphins, and then last Sunday he got, you know, not hit in the head, but got knocked backwards and really, you know, hit his squash pretty hard on the playing field, and then got up and was around Weird Street and was sort of staggering, and they said, oh, just a back injury, and he'd be fine, and he played the rest of the game, and then he played Thursday night again and got tackled pretty hard. And I don't know if you see the video, it's pretty impressive. He's kind of like, I'd say, having a small seizure with his hands in front of his face, and he got carted off the field. So, you know, it's just when you're dealing with quarterbacks and really important players, I think we could be swayed a little bit as to what we're thinking. But, you know, it's life-altering, and it can be life-altering. If you ever saw the movie Concussion, which is with Will Smith, and how the football NFL Football League was made it very hard onto this guy. He was a pathologist, actually, to understand concussion and how life-changing it was. And it's a pretty moving story. Maybe Will Smith had a concussion one time, and it could explain his actions at the when he slapped somebody on the face on stage. But it's life-altering, and it's really being an advocate and a stakeholder in your child, your young adult, your adolescents, and even your pro football team. So,
well, let me ask you this: concussions. Since we're going to, that's our main focus of things today, and we do want to invite people. If you have questions, by all means, give us a call 402-376-2400. Are younger forming brains more susceptible to long term damage than if I whack my melon when I get up in the morning or something, and I get a little woozy or whatever? Does it long-term effects of a young person's developing brain more susceptible?
Well, they're better healers. Most kids will resolve their concussion symptoms. And really, it's important. Concussion is a great word, but it's really called mild traumatic brain injury.
Brain injury.
Yeah. So they talk about post-concussive or TBI syndrome. So back to your question, kids are great healers. So they do recover quickly. What really gets in the problem is an injury on top of an injury and how many concussions you've had. And kids will bounce back quicker, but you need to keep an eye on them. And if your spidey senses are saying, you know, something's just not right here, it may not be right. 39% of the kids that are young adults that have a concussion, mild traumatic brain injury, 39% of them will go on to have some psychiatric disorder in the relative near future or in their lifetime. So this is something that is
don't mess with it.
No, it's not. I'm glad there's more and more light on it. In my opinion, what happened to the quarterback of Miami is very tragic, and he may never bounce back. There are some football players. I know there's one from Dallas that has post-concussive syndrome, and post-concussive syndrome is when your concussion symptoms don't go away for 3 months, and then there's persistent post-concussive syndrome, which is they don't go away after 3 months, and they could be life-changing. But there's a couple people that have had head injuries and just aren't the same. You know.
So the biggest thing is to I know all coaches are taught to teach a different way of tackling and hitting and those mm-hmm. kind of things, and they've changed some rules about not only quarterbacks but other blindside hits and those kind of things in
targeting,
football.
Yeah.
But I've seen you know, concussions in basketball, or it can happen. We should probably explain what a concussion does to your brain, and you'd be more qualified to do that than me. So what happens during a concussion?
Yeah, so it's a bumper blow to the head or even an energy that would cause your brain to sort of twist in within the skull. There's chemical changes that happen. It creates chemical changes, and there's actually damage to your brain, or it stretches or pulls on some of these nerve cells, and it causes a whole cascade of things, and you actually can have disconnection between your sympathetic and parasympathetic system, which controls blood pressure, sleep-wake cycles, things like that. So we talk about concussion, we talk medical, we talk somebody has a GCS, a Glasgow Coma Scale of 13 to 15, which means you go to see somebody and they're just not acting right. They're not opening their eyes like they should. They tend to keep them closed. They may react to voice and speech. They may not, and depending how they move themselves. So we kind of label it as, you know, what we call a Glasgow Coma Scale of 13 to 15. So there's like the three R's of concussion. So there's recognize that somebody may, you know, have a concussion, and symptoms can start immediately or they can start days later. So there's the three R's, recognize a concussion or just have, you know, your spidey senses are saying, hey, there's something not right here, and report it. So report to a healthcare provider, and you want to talk about the cause of the injury or the force. Again, you don't have to get hit in the head. It could be something that you get whipped around really hard or cause some sort of torsion or high energy and to your body. Was there any loss of consciousness, or how long was the loss of consciousness? Was there memory loss? And we talk about anterograde and retrograde amnesia. I mean, does the person remember everything that happened before they got hit, or do they don't remember everything after they got hit? And the number of previous concussions, it's an additive thing. The big study out of University of Pennsylvania followed people for 25 years. I don't know how they did that, but they had within 25 years, they had 6 face-to-face meetings with them, and they called them twice a year on the phone, did interviews, and they showed that if one head injury in a young adult or adult showed that they had a 1x increase. So that's 100% increase in the chance of getting dementia. And if you've had 2 head injuries over your lifetime, that your chance of having dementia, it was over twice the amount, or 200%.
So it's important to protect the noggin.
Yeah. So the first R, recognize. So signs. So signs are something that you see. It's not what patient reports, but they'll say, they can't recall what happened before or after they got hit in the head or after they fell. Do they appear dazed or stunned? And confusion about, what position do you play? I don't know. I'm out here somewhere. Maybe I'm a linebacker. Or maybe I'm a forward playing football. And what is the score? If they're unsure of the score, and then maybe who you're playing against. I'm like, I don't know, these guys in the white shirts maybe mm-hmm. I'm playing. So, and they can show mood and personality changes. And the symptoms they can report is, headache or just pressure in my head. They can have nausea or vomiting, dizziness, double vision or blurred vision. They can be bothered by light and noise, difficulty sleeping, concentrating, memory problems. And mostly I don't feel right, whatever that means.
Something's off.
Yeah.
You mentioned sleeping.
Yeah.
There's always been, can you let a person go to sleep that you suspect of having a concussion? That's always been, keep them awake. Don't
keep them awake, yeah.
But on that, you mentioned on previous programs where sleep, rest helps heal.
Yes, that is really the hallmark is rest. Well, we could talk about the steps to getting back to normal life.
And did you cover all 3 of the R's?
Okay, I'm circling back.
Oh,
maybe add an R.
Okay. I'll circle. All right, a circle down here. With an
so the 3 R's we talked about were the 3 R's.
Recognize it, report it.
That was like 4 pages ago. It was recognize, report, and recover.
Okay.
Then there's about the sleep thing. sleep is really important, and we could talk about the recovery phase, but usually on the average, after a concussion, people will sleep 1 to 2 hours more in a 24-hour period. Just their body says, hey, you know, I need to shut down and figure this up. And last show, we talked the difference between light sleep and deep sleep and deep sleep health, but building recovery in a sense of repairing stuff in your brain. So the thing about letting them sleep, so if somebody you can't wake, yeah, that's a problem.
Should monitor them.
They should monitor.
They shouldn't go home by themselves.
Shouldn't go home. No, I think that's exactly right. And you need to keep monitoring these people. Sometimes concussive syndrome symptoms show up days later, mm-hmm. Type of thought. So there's concussion danger signs. So one pupil being larger than the other pupil. It's called anisocoria. It's like Bill the Cat, that cartoon guy. He has one big eye, one small eye. drowsiness, but the inability to wake somebody. Worsening headache. Headaches just won't go away. Slurred speech. Weakness in arms and legs. Decreased coordination. Nausea and vomiting that will not stop. So nausea and vomiting that just won't stop. Now, we're not talking about you having the GI bug, but it can mean increasing pressure in your brain. Seizures, shaking, twitching. If you saw Tua lay on the ground, he kind of had his hands over his face and he had weird finger movements.
I'd like to have a monitor right now on the video because everybody's Googling that.
No, it's impressive. Like it's scary. I'm not an NFL concussion expert, but I saw the hit this guy took. And then I didn't know there were plays in a Thursday night game, and I saw him go down. He got kind of whipped more than anything else. It wasn't really direct below the head, and then he had them, and they said, oh, they wheeled him off, and then they said, oh, he's fine. He flew back with the team, but I don't know. I think fine is relative. So unusual behaviors such as agitation, worsening confusion, difficulty sleeping, and loss of consciousness in a sense that, you know, did they have loss of consciousness at the time of injury, okay, getting knocked out, or they pass out later for some unknown reason. So those are sort of the danger signs. You know, danger, Will Robinson. You know, you got to do something about it. So.
We should get a sound effect for the yeah. Dr. Rick.
Warning. So we talk about recovery. So most children and young adults will feel better in about 10 to 14 days.
Okay. So that goes through. I know when I've talked to coaches, and if it's determined that an athlete has a concussion, there's mm-hmm. a concussion protocol follow, which is part of the recovery. And sometimes it can take a week. Sometimes it might be a little more.
Yeah. There's there's six steps to getting back to playing again, returning to play. And then there's just the general recovery steps for, say, they weren't playing a sport. So rest. Rest is always shown to be the best thing. They sort of did a small study where they had kids, you know, rest for 2 days or 5 days, and the kids that did better and resolved symptoms sooner were that they rested for 5 days. And so that means, what does that mean? It says early on, you limit your physical activity, even like thinking problems. Like don't, you know, get them back to school right away.
Like word problems and stuff and math.
Let's go learn calculus today. And you got to help kids avoid activities that would put him at risk for getting hit in the noggin. My son was skiing once and took a little hit to his melon. It was kind of had the symptoms, had headache and dizziness and nausea and vomiting. And then, you know, we didn't let him do soccer. And so when he showed up at soccer practice, one of the kids were being kids and said, how come you're not, you know, practicing today? What's wrong with you? You seem fine. You're back at school. And kicked a soccer ball at his head and hit him in the head again, and then immediately the symptoms came back and lasted a lot longer. So, really,
I never would have thought a soccer ball. I mean, they say soccer is one of those that have concussions, and you wouldn't think that ball using their head.
There's so much energy, and you know, energy travels through solids better than air. It travels better through water than air. And what is your brain? Your brain is around a solid skull, surrounded by fluid, and I see them hit their head. The soccer ball, it's just amazing the energy and how and sometimes that ball is screaming at them. You see these soccer players. And there's some leagues that don't let kids head a ball.
Right.
And it's, a lot of times I've seen kids miss and hit each other in the head and head-to-head contact.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's – so they don't let them head the ball before the age of 12. And I think that's a good thing.
So we're – on the program with Ask Dr. Rick, our phone number is 402-376-2400, and you can call in if you have a question or a comment. And we're not trying to discourage people from participating in activities because those are good activities,
yes.
But you just need to do it in a safe manner. You know, the days when you and I were playing football and those things and with the old web you know, helmets and those kind of things.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of amazing to me. Do you ever watch on TV, you watch football training camps?
Right.
And do you ever see a lot of guys, they have like padding outside their helmet? They wear like this weird stuff. Look for it. It looks like, I don't know, like a quilted blanket on top of the head. You know why they do that? It's not to help protect their heads. It's to help protect the quarterback's hands, because I guess there was some one or two quarterbacks that were throwing passes in spring training or, you know, warm-up training and hit their hand on a helmet. So let's not worry about the guy's head. I mean, they're wearing helmets. Let's not worry about the guy's squash, but let's worry about that somebody may hurt their finger on a helmet. And so that's why you see those weird kind of padding on top of their helmet.
I haven't seen that. So we haven't really, when we talked about what happens to your brain, basically an impact. So it could be a direct impact to your head. It could be from a get hit from the side and it whips your head or
whips
something.
Around,
It's a transfer of energy inside your skull, basically sloshing your brain around somehow.
Yeah, when medical people, you talked about coup and counter coup injuries. What the heck is that? Just your head be, you know, say you hit your head straight on with something. Well, your brain goes forward, you know, thing in motion wants to stay in motion, and it hits your skull in front, and then it recoils and hits back. So you'll see two injuries
go
in
the front of the brain.
Yeah, I mean, it's just bouncing around in there, and good things don't happen. So getting back to rest, so get a good night's sleep. We talked about sleep hygiene back then. Also, rest early on means don't let your child sit on the couch and play video games. Like, you know, decrease screen time.
Because actually brain activity hinders the healing process.
It does, and the thinking process and just stress.
So
and
lock them in a dark room.
Yep. Yeah, well, don't just slide them food in at the door every once in a while.
Cookies.
So then when you've rested and the symptoms seem to be dissipating or going away or just very minimal, then you can start with light activity, which is a gradual return to non-strenuous activity. Get a maximum amount of sleep. Avoid screen time. People tend to be take a lot of naps in concussion, and he's tried to start to wean people off naps, but if you need it, take it. Then going on this step three is moderate activity. So when your symptoms are completely gone, you can return to regular school activities. And you need to teach the kids to take a break. You know, every once in a while, why don't you just go down to the nurses to sit down for a while. And anywhere along these steps, if the kid, child, young adult, college student fails, you kind of go back to the previous step. You just don't go forward and think, well, it's just going to get better and we'll tough it out. And you let kids go back a step if they need to.
So the brain injury is basically like when you injure any other part of the body. If you try to come back too soon, if you got a knee injury and you try to come back too soon, you're going to damage the knee maybe even more.
Even more, yeah. So it's your brain. You got one of them. It's got to last you a lifetime. And brain function will just go down every year just from being a human. There was a study done where they saw kids between age of 18 and I think 25 and did an MRI at the time of the concussion or therefore after, and then did another one a year. And there was noticeable atrophy in certain parts of the brain, one place called the cinglet gyrus, which has a coordination and upper motor function. There is something called, really, it's worse than a concussion. It's called diffuse axonal injury. It's when you get hit hard enough that the main part of your inner side of your brain is the gray matter, and the white part matter on the top, the little thin layer, is for higher thinking and kind of what makes us human. And you actually get hit so hard that you shear off the white matter from the gray matter.
That doesn't sound good.
No, I saw a kid once, the teenagers, and they're screwing around the car and had a very fast car and hit an abutment. I guess that means a big piece of concrete, and stopped the car pretty much dead. Kid was wearing a seatbelt, really had no signs of injury, but he basically slid the white matter off his gray matter and basically become what we call brainstem. He would wake up every once in a while. He could eat. He couldn't talk. He couldn't respond to people. He looked normal. And basically, he just slept. I guess I could say pooped. And that was about it. But there was no higher brain functioning. And here's a kid without a a mark on his body, but basically slid his white matter off his gray matter, and it doesn't really go back.
So whether we're out for sports or not, we need to protect the dog. Zach, did you have a question? Oh, maybe we covered that one before we got to it.
Sure.
So, okay. So where are we at on the recovery issue?
Then once no symptoms, you can get on to moderate activity. And then, depending on how you're feeling, if you actually no symptoms, if none of the symptoms have reoccurred, like we talked about during those steps, you can get back to full activity. Now, that's just life activity. There's six steps you can go over about returning to play type of thing. Symptoms that last more than 10 to 14 days, we talk about post-concussive syndrome. And post-concussive syndrome is when basically the symptoms don't go away. And if they don't go away after 3 months, then it's called persistent post-concussive syndrome. And it could be life-altering and life-lasting.
I was going to say some of those serious enough would affect your learning abilities and functioning, as you already mentioned some of that.
Fine motor skills and all that stuff.
So you can't become a surgeon if you...
No, definitely. Maybe an orthopedic surgeon. I'm just kidding.
You could be an orthopedic.
This guy's always making a lot more money than I do. Yeah, well, you know, they just knuckle draggers.
So which doctor are you aiming at? Are you looking at Dr. Sisk?
He's a good guy. He does excellent work. It's just they just made a better career choice, I guess. I don't know.
Speaking of career choices, have you been doing any fishing?
No. I fish at one of the gentleman's private lake, but I guess they're doing some repair where you put the boat in. So I drove my boat out there, and there was a big pile of rocks where you put the boat in. And then I went up to Merritt, and geez, there's like
be coming back up. I think they should be shutting that down.
Yeah, no, it was where I put my boat in, and where the water was probably over 200 feet.
All right, well, we won't ask you for fishing.
So, no, not really. Okay. Then there's six steps of returning to play. Like, I can play a sport. So when kids are getting back to physical activities, parents and coaches need to watch concussion symptoms each day after kid returns to play. Step one, back to regular activities, and meaning school, is sort of the green light to say, okay, he can process enough in school. He's not having any symptoms. He went through a full day of school. He didn't come home, have terrible headaches. He didn't sleep extra hours. That's sort of the green light to say, okay, now we can do the six steps of returning to play. So you can't have any symptoms. Step two is light aerobic activity. So you're basically trying to increase somebody's heart rate between 5 and 10 minutes on it.
So exercise,
walking, a very, very light jogging. You don't want to be like shaking your squash when you're running. And no weightlifting. Okay.
Oh, because the pressure?
Does pressure,
create
yeah.
Pressure
yep.
in your...
Yeah, okay. You bear down with your pressure.
Again, good reason I don't exercise.
Yep. So you're on step two. You do that. And I don't know how many days you have to do step one, step two. I'd hate to see somebody do them all one day, but I think there should be some time. And there's probably some protocol out there about return activity. Step three is moderate activity. Start exercise, increase your heart rate with exercise that actually can move your head and move your body side to side or in different planes. Moderate jogging, brief running, moderate weightlifting, but you don't go back to your normal weights. You don't go back and say, well, I use a bench press 225 pounds. Let's do 225 today. You just don't. Step four is heavy non-contact activity. So sprinting, regular weightlifting at your normal routine, and non-contact sports specific drills. Okay. So you can run drills, maybe
shuttle
runs through the tires and things like that, but still no contact. So then step five, you can return to practice in full contact, but it's practice. It's controlled. Probably somebody saying, I don't know if they still do it. We still get, when we didn't do well practice, they would put us in a circle. And one guy would lay on the ground, and they'd throw the ball in, and he had to grab it, get up. And somebody from the outside, whoever they call, would just have to hit this guy as hard as you could. I hope they don't do that anymore.
I don't know.
I don't know. And then if you go through step five, which is return to practice and full contact, and do well, then you can go to step six and return to contact sports. Or, it doesn't have to be contact. It could be playing basketball.
And there's no timetable set for that. It's up to the individual
yeah.
How that progresses.
Yeah. there's like, so one other thing I want to talk about is there's a law. It was called the Zachary Leistet Law, and it started out in Washington, first Washington State, and it was basically a kid playing football, took a good hit, tackled somebody, and kind of was around Weird Street, not doing well. They took him out of the game for like one quarter and put him back in. He played the rest of the quarter, and then he, at the very end of the game, he dropped to the ground. He spent 9 months on intensive care. It took him several years to get his sight back, several years to learn how to talk, move, and I think even still today he has trouble standing on 2 feet. So that law says that, you know, if you have a young athlete and you're suspicious they have concussion or suffering concussion, they have to be removed from the game. They cannot return back to the game for at least 24 hours, and they have to have somebody clear them, somebody medically, somebody who has concussion protocol experience.
I was going to say, isn't that part of what they call the concussion protocol? They have to be cleared by a
medical person that, you know, usually a neurologist, could be anybody, you know. The NFL is
a surgeon.
Surgeon, yeah. It's
not an orthopedic surgeon.
Well,
surgeon.
If he takes class, so there's actually, there's something out there that I saw, and I don't work for this organization. Of course, it costs money. Something called Impact. Which is immediate.
Stands for something.
Something that I wrote down over there somewhere. It basically is, I think this is great. I don't know enough about it, but I spent a lot of time looking at it. So you can become a certified impact counselor, CIC, and you go take a course online, 7.5 hours, and then you pay a certain amount of money, and then you've learned how to look for these things. But part of the impact part, and you can become one for a school district. I think 7,000 high schools use this, over 1,000 universities, and 100 pro sports teams. It's called Impact, I-M-P-A-C-T. And Impact, every year before they play, the kid or athlete takes a test. It's about a 20-minute test online, and it looks
kind of a baseline. Is that what they're?
It's exactly it. And Impact stands for Immediate Post Concussive Assessment Cognitive Testing. So they take this baseline test, and you sort of know how you're functioning. Then they check, you know, a couple different things. They measure visual and verbal memory, reaction time, and processing speed. And Impact is not there to diagnose a concussion, but if you have a child, young adult, athlete, take this test and you get a number. I don't know what that number is. You get a number. And then they have a concussion. And they can take the test several times afterwards, and it looks at a lot of things to say, these aren't back to normal yet.
So if you scored a 86 and you were come back after an injury or something, and you were in the 60s or whatever,
and because concussions don't show up on an x-ray very well. They don't, unless you have a brain bleed, but then that's not a mild traumatic brain injury. Moderate, severe. So a lot of it is, you know, they don't know, maybe it'll be a scan one day better than just this test, but it actually, they're testing to see how this person is reacting, and it's your brain. One thing I liked about it, I guess I liked about all of it, is there's one thing about reaction time, because would you want to put somebody back in baseball if you can't get out of the way a 90-mile pitch? Would you want to put somebody back in football and they can't get out of the way of a linebacker coming at them? Or
protect themselves.
And I think that's kind of important. You got to be able to protect yourself and things like that.
So it's been interesting to talk about concussions. We've kind of focused on sports injuries, but of course that can happen from any kind of an accident, or a car accident, a four-wheeler accident, or falling off the front step or something like that. But interesting stuff. And I know, as always, we didn't get to all of your pages of notes in there. Yeah. But what final words do we have about concussions and watching for such things?
Be aware of it. Be on the lookout for it. Be the best advocate for your child, young adult, professional, player. You know, these things are 1 in 5 contact sport that athletes suffer concussion each year. The ability to think is about 1.6 to 3.8 million sports-related concussions in the United States. So it's out there. It happens. Be aware of it. You know, we're not saying not play football. We're not saying do any of that. Just, hey, things happen. You know, concussions happen. And just you can get back to playing, but you got to take the necessary steps.
If you get a concussion, you won't be able to go to Oktoberfest, right?
No, and I left my paper out. You know what I'm going to talk about.
I had written down Oktoberfest. I have no idea.
And you can read my writing?
Well, and even upside down.
Yeah.
But what's going on with, what'd you write down about October?
Well, I always want to bring something non-medical. Useful is relative. I'll let you decide. So what is Oktoberfest? It happens, it's a two-week festival that's in Munich, Germany. It actually starts in September. I'm not sure why it's Oktoberfest. It starts usually in end of September and the first Sunday in October. It finishes. The first Oktoberfest was October 12th, 1810. It was a celebration of the Prince of Bavaria, who became King Louis the First later on in life. And he
invented Bavarian cream, didn't he?
And pretzels, yeah. And he got married to Princess Therese von Sachsen-Hildburg Hassan. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a mouthful.
So in 1818, the Boots started selling beer. So each brewery in Munich makes 36 plywood halls. And they're plywood because they've been taken down every year. And each one, the bigger halls, which is about 17, can hold up to 6,000 people.
I mean, just a shanty beer.
Yeah, some they're pretty elaborate. I looked online. Okay. They're pretty elaborate. So the total beer consumed is over 200 million gallons. I'm sorry, 2 million gallons of beer.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of beer.
Lots of beer.
And the local Germans like to go around because it's something like a couple million people go to this thing.
Yeah.
And the Germans like to make fun of the beer lichens, which are all the people that are passed out on the hillsides.
That's the nugget we were looking for.
I think the people in Munich are like, I'm getting out of here. It's, this is bad news.
All right, well.
So for October, are we going to talk about alcohol poisoning and ETOH? Or
alcohol poisoning, our topic in October.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's gluttony, and they said fights break out. And
I'm sure with that, with 2 million gallons of beer.
They call it debauchery, I guess.
We've been visiting with Dr. Rick Malachek from the Cherry County Hospital, not the opinions of the hospital here. They're our own opinions, our own comments, and his thoughts on some of the things that we need to be aware of with the Ask Dr. Rick program. If you have ideas or questions, comments, please send those to mike@kvsh.com, and we'll try to relay those.
Can I say one more thing? Sure. Real quick. So last week you asked me about it and kind of stumped the chump. And they said, why around full moon I don't sleep well? Well, actually, they did a study there. They looked into this. They took people that live in like the middle of nowhere and people that live. They took students at Seattle University, or the big college and university. And they said normally people's sleep varies every 29.5 days, which I guess is a full moon.
So if that's on you would have the same.
They think maybe our bodies are, through evolution, decided those are when the full moon and we need to take advantage of the full moon because there's more light and maybe we can hunt fish, gather, I don't know, plant crops, I don't know, something like that. So
we can
see, I got back to you on that one.
There we go. Thank you. Appreciate that. Let us know if you have topics you'd like to have Dr. Rick delve into. He'd be glad to do some night research on some of that and report back to us. The last Friday of every month, we try to get together with Dr. Rick and visit about some of these things. So, Doc, thanks for coming in.
Thanks,
have a
Mike.
Great weekend.
Good seeing you. Yeah, we'll do.
That's the comment program today.
The opinions and comments of those heard on today's program are the opinions of those involved and not the views of this station or its sponsors. Radio KVSH reserves the right to control the content of the program as it deems necessary. If you or your organization disagree with views on the program, contact KVSH for possible rebuttal time.